share a reading with us from the Gospel of Matthew. We'll begin with verse 1 of chapter 28 of Matthew's Gospel. This is his account, one of the four Gospel accounts of the resurrection. And Matthew the evangelist says, "After the Sabbath, the first day of the week was dawning, and Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And suddenly there was an earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descending from heaven came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing was as white as snow. For fear of him, the guards shook and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, 'Do not be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised. As he said, come see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has been raised from the dead, and indeed he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him. This is my message for you.' So they left the tomb and quickly, with fear and great joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them and said, 'Greetings.' And they came to him, took hold of his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, 'Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me.'" Friends, this is the word of the Lord. And together let us say, thanks be to God. Lee Strobel was a budding journalist in the 1970s for the Chicago Tribune. He'd won various awards and was on a meteoric rise in his career. But something abruptly challenged the stability of his family, of his career, and in many ways, his very life. What was that challenge? His wife embraced Christianity. You see, Strobel was a person of the facts, a person who embraced truth, not circumstances that couldn't be proven. He only believed in what could be researched and what could be debated as truth. He was a devout atheist. And the fact that his wife would embrace this fairy tale called Christianity brought his world almost to a halt. Strobel felt so deserted by his own wife that he began a research investigation of himself to prove that Christianity wasn't real. His trump card, the basis that he wanted to defend his entire case against Christ, was on the resurrection. He said, "There's no way it could have happened. There's no way that these Christians of ancient times, and certainly even modern times, could prove that one could certainly resurrect from the grave." But as Lee Strobel began his research, spent countless hours and numerous interviews, he found at the end of his research that it took more faith not to believe that Christ was resurrected than it did to believe he was resurrected. He wrote a book called The Case for Christ, and it sold millions of copies, sharing how Strobel embraced the faith ultimately through his scientific investigation. But most importantly, Strobel said what he learned most about the Christian faith through the research was not the science, was not the data. It was that he saw a change in his wife's life and in the love with which she embraced him. He said that was all the proof I needed to know that the resurrection was indeed real and that Christ was truly Lord of life and love. You know, Lee Strobel's not the only journalist who struggled with the belief of Christianity. In the early 1900s, a man named Malcolm Muggeridge was born in England, and Muggeridge became a successful journalist in his own right. But he, too, a devout atheist, felt that he couldn't believe in a God that would let so much bad happen in our broken world. It was at the depths of World War II and in his travels to India that he saw devout poverty, that he said, "How can I believe in a loving God when there's so much destruction, pain, and peril in our world?" In one of his trips to India, though, Malcolm Muggeridge met a lady named Teresa of Calcutta, as many of we know as Mother Teresa. And he said that me, a man who'd spent my entire life in words, in celebrating the written word, the power of the pen, this woman of faith never said a thing to me to impact my faith, but it was her actions that introduced me to the true essence of Christianity. He said it was how she loved, how she gave of herself, how she sacrificed for those around her that introduced me to the fact that God was indeed real and love conquers all peril and pain ultimately through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. You know, as we think about the resurrection, the gift of life in our Savior, it is indeed the sacrifice of our Lord that made that resurrection possible. Many of you will remember that last week we shared in that journey of Jesus on Palm Sunday as he journeyed on that colt into Jerusalem. But you know, I want to share with you today that I've been up on that mountain in Bethsaida. I've stood on that crest where you could see Jerusalem in a distance where Jesus took that journey. And if you look back to the west from Bethsaida, what you can see is the Judean wilderness. And you see, the coincidence wasn't lost on me as I stood at Bethsaida, knowing that Jesus understood full well what awaited him in Jerusalem and what he could escape to in the Judean wilderness. You see, the wilderness, that was the place where Jesus had spent his 40 days fasting, that place where it was so easy for bandits and criminals to get lost and never be heard from again. Our Lord Jesus could have went in the other direction last Sunday instead of into Jerusalem for his death and destruction, but he embraced the sacrifice of his own life that we may have life forever. Friends, that is what makes powerful and possible the resurrection of our Lord, is his sacrifice for you and me. But you know, also in our text today, not only do we hear of the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we also hear of his forgiveness. In the reading that I shared from Matthew, in verse 9, very near the end of that passage, our scripture says this. It says that the women met Jesus on the way, and he embraced them with this word, "Greetings," our English translation interprets it with an exclamation point. Well, the Greek word that we interpret "greetings" here in this reading in our modern day understanding is kerete. And that Greek word has two different meanings. Yes, it can mean hello, but it can also mean in a verb sense for people to rejoice. So if we put those two interpretations together, hello and the verb sense rejoice, we understand that the interpreters were saying to us, Jesus didn't simply say, hello to the women that day, but he met them with a joyful reception and a warm greeting. You see, friends, here's the importance of that. Imagine with me if we had been in Jesus' shoes, if we'd been the one deserted, rejected, betrayed by the people of faith, the last emotion I would have on that Easter morning would be joy and warmth for those around me. But Jesus embodied the nature of forgiveness, that he'd forgotten already what he'd gone through because his eyes was on the love that he had for all creation. It was his forgiveness that he was able to embrace these women who were central to his leadership in ministry with a message to his disciples, go and meet me in Galilee. Now also in this passage, I think we need to consider the power of Jesus' commission for his disciples, his friends, his followers to meet him in Galilee. You see, friends, Galilee in the first century world, where Jesus chose to make his home in Capernaum, it was the way of the highway. It was a traveling route of commerce where many diverse people from the far east and the far reaches of the world came through Galilee on their way to Jerusalem and the other side of the world. It was a melting pot of people. And in this area of Galilee, there were people of different faiths and people of no faiths. And this is where Jesus decided to embrace the world with his life-giving love. He said, I'm going to minister, not in coincidence in Galilee, but I want it to be known to all that my love, my grace is sufficient for all of creation. You see, when Jesus the Christ came to the world, he practiced his ministry in Galilee, and he said to his disciples, return there because that's where I'm coming to see you. But there's also another important fact about Galilee that I think we should know today. In those days, in the first century world, when Jesus ministered in Galilee, the Galilean countryside was known for the bathing pools, the warm springs where people would come for physical deliverance from their pain. From many miles in distant lands, they would find restoration in Galilee. You see, I think it's also important for us to know that Jesus, more than symbolically, said, I am the true restoration from your illness and your brokenness. Take my life and let me restore you to the fullness of life, love, and joy forever. You see, Jesus, friends, not only came to the Galilee in the first century world, but will you receive this message with me today that Jesus comes to you and to me in our Galilee, in our brokenness, in our pain of life, of separation, as we're enduring now as a world, as we are embraced, many of us, with sickness and even the loss of loved ones. We, so many right now, are experiencing our own searching for restoration in our Galilee. And friends, that's where Jesus comes to us. That is the power and the purpose of the resurrection, that God embraces us in our time of separation into life, love, and joy forever. You know, friends, in the midst of these challenging times, I'm also inspired today by the words of Mark Batterson. Batterson said, and much of his life, he always sought, as a young person, deliverance from the challenges, the peril, the persecutions he faced. He wanted to be set free from those as quickly as possible. aren't we all that way in much of a sense? But Batterson said what he'd learned over time was that God used the most trying times in life to help him grow in his faith, in his strength, and in his ability to serve God and his love in the world around him. He said, I spent so much time wanting God to change my circumstances that I never gave God the opportunity to change me. He said, so much of my life, instead of having 10 years of experience by going through challenges, I only had 1 year of experience 10 times. So friends, in the midst of our challenges during this time of separation, may we also seize this opportunity to learn and grow more in our dependence of God, to count our blessings daily, and look forward to that time when we're united again with friends and family and loved ones, and know that through the resurrection. The resurrection of our Lord that was made possible, as we spoke of this morning, through the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus, to claim each of us as his own, worthy of living and dying for, to conquer our separation from God forever. And also Jesus embracing not only the disciples with his forgiveness, but you and me and all of creation. You know, I began this morning by saying, Lee Strobel shared that the science of the resurrection eventually became eye-opening for him. But ultimately, dear church, what makes Easter possible is the resurrection. But what makes the resurrection possible is the love of Jesus Christ, who not only lived and died for us, but had a love so great for you and me in our Galilee, in all of creation, that love could not be conquered by the grave. So may we, friends, on this resurrection day, those of us who've especially lost loved ones recently, who've been separated from friends and family from the illness called coronavirus, may we have the hope of our faith to know that goodbye is only temporary, for in Jesus Christ, life, love, and joy is eternal. May we be embraced with his love this day and share it with all around us to the glory of the Father, now and forever. Amen. God bless you. Happy Easter, and celebrate our Lord's resurrection by giving his love to the world in need. Amen.